Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Physicians and hospitals are scrambling for the specialty compounded drugs that used to be provided by the New England Compounding Center in Framingham and a related company, Ameridose. Both companies have closed following the national meningitis outbreak that's killed 36 people and sickened more than 500, and which has been blamed on contaminated steroids made by the Compounding Center in Framingham. As WBUR's Fred Bever reports, some hospitals in Massachusetts are responding to the drug shortages in ways that might be better for patients.
Patients at Massachusetts General Hospital take some 400,000 doses of medication every month, 4.8 million doses a year. And until 2 months ago, close to a million of them were compounded by third-party vendors such as NECC and even more, Ameridose. Now, most of that work has been brought in-house to here, MGH's Central Pharmacy. It's a clinical beehive where technicians in varying surgical outfits fill IV bags and sort syringes. Behind airlock doors, more workers sit under high-tech bays or hoods, compounding sterile medications. Just outside this clean room, lead technician Megan Federico sorts test tubes.
It's what we put our specimen samples in to test for sterility.
No doubt this was a busy place before Ameridose was closed, but now this lab is really humming.
We've increased our hours. We now have everybody. We have three hoods that are full on all three shifts that we didn't have before. We were Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 4 operation, and now we're 24/7.
Before the meningitis outbreak, MGH was already contending with a national shortage of some drugs. Now, the hospital has amped up its drug management and compounding effort, and new discussions among physicians and pharmacists may be leading to changed and better prescribing practices. Dr. Padma Galur cites the example of a painkiller called hydromorphone. She's MGH's Director of Inpatient Pain Services, and she says the drug is quite effective and quite addictive.
That makes it less than an ideal first-line prescribing agent, an opioid choice in an acute setting, because we're introducing patients to high-potency medications when there are alternatives that they should have been exposed to earlier.
Morphine, for one. After state regulators shut down the Ameridose pipeline, the hospital's chief pharmacist, Margaret Clapp, faced some choices. Even with added staff, she needed to consolidate the number of medications they'd secure and compound each day. She suggested to Dr. Galore that morphine be dropped from the list.
And I can't tell you what she called me when I suggested that, because what she really wanted to do is what she said is, our goal is to be using morphine first. What do you mean? And having the numbers in front of us on a daily basis in trying to manage our patients pointed out to us that we could do better.
This put it in concrete numbers in front of us, and it was startling.
Again, Dr. Padma Galore.
And it brought it home that here's an opportunity for clinical process improvement, which I think has wide impacts.
So both agree that morphine is a better choice, and it's now prescribed more often than hydromorphone at MGH. And Chief Pharmacist Clapp is more closely monitoring her entire inventory of all compounded medications, including painkillers, antibiotics, and anesthesia. In some cases, she's whittled down the menu. In others, she's passed work on to other departments. Qualified anesthesiologists, for instance, are now mixing some of their needed drugs themselves. Qualified nurses are taking up slack, too. This is happening at other hospitals around the state. Dr. Gary Kerr is chief pharmacist at Bay State Health Systems in Springfield, as well as president of the State Association of Health System Pharmacists.
We are having very difficult, thoughtful conversations about each drug, each strength. You know, do you need to use it in this particular situation? And it's forcing some good dialogue, I guess, between the frontline provider and the pharmacist.
Back at MGH's pharmacy department, just such a dialogue breaks out between Dr. Galore and pharmacist Paul Arpino. Sitting in a foyer, they debate the best way to administer local anesthetic lidocaine.
But I'd have to look at what the concentration.
But it's not clinically significant anyway, so.
So again, it's one of those things when you check. You know, you can check dig levels. If you took 10 dig levels from 10 individuals.
You're telling me I'm looking for needle in a haystack?
A little bit.
All right.
A little bit.
Got it.
But that's okay. That's what we do.
Hospitals and state regulators continue to seek ways to cover the supply gap left by the closure of NECC and Ameridos and to cover the added costs. The state may allow Ameridos to reopen next year, but pharmacists aren't counting on it. MGH's parent organization, Partners Healthcare, is mulling over the idea of creating its own compounding pharmacy that would serve all the hospitals in its system. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Bever.